Amen. We're doing Gemara Megillah. We're holding four lines from where the wide lines get wide, Daf Yudam and Beis. And as you see by the shape of the page, there isn't too much Rashi, isn't too much Tosis. Now we're going to enter Agadita. The Gemara is going to analyze the different verses in the Megillah. And we'll hear some stories. So we begin with the first verse of the Megillah. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. The Megillah begins, and it was in the days of Achashverosh, Amar Rabbi Levi, Veitei Mar Rabbi Yonason, Davar Ze Masoret Biyadeinim Anshei Knesset Hagdola. The following thing we have on tradition from the men of the great assembly, Kol Makom Shneimar Vayhi, Eino Ela Lashon Tzar. Anywhere it says Vayhi, it is none other than a term of Tzar, pain, sadness. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. It was in the days of Achashverosh. Why does it say Vayhi? Why? What was the tsar? What was the pain? What was the sadness? Hava Haman. No, we're going to meet up with Mr. Haman. That's going to be painful. Vayhi bimei Shvot HaShoftim. In the beginning of the Megillah of Ruth. So right away we hear Hava Rav. There was a famine. Vayhi ki yechel adam l'rov al pnei adama. The Pasuk in Bereishis describes it was when man started flourishing upon land. It says, "Vayara Hashem ki rabah ra'at adam ba'aretz." God saw that man became very wicked on earth. Vayhi b'nosam mikedem. It says when they traveled from the east, they were traveling, and then they were going to build the Tower of Babel. So that's what it says. Hava nivne lanu ir. Let's build the city, tower up to heaven, and they wanted to do a great sin. Vayhi b'mei Amraphel. It says was in the days of Amraphel the king. And right away it tells us you had the four kings and there was a war against the five kings. Asu milchama. Vayhi biyot Yoshua biricho. The pasuk describes when Joshua was in Jericho. It says he met up with an angel. V'charbo shluva biyodo. His sword was outstretched. He said, "What's wrong with you guys? Why didn't you learn Torah tonight?" Vayhi Hashem et Yoshua. It says God was with Yoshua. Right afterwards says v'imalu bnei Israel. The Jews sinned. They stole from the loot of Jericho, which had been dedicated to God. In the beginning of the book of Shmuel, it describes Elkanah, a great man from the hilltops in the mountainous regions of Ephraim. Right afterwards, it describes Ki et Chana heva shem segar achma. Although Elkanah loved Chana, but God had closed her womb; she couldn't have kids. Vayhi kizaken Shmuel. Later on it says as Shmuel aged. So then we have the description that his children did not continue in his footsteps. The Jews said, "We don't have a proper leader, we need a king." So each time it says Vayhi and it's followed by trouble. Vayhi David lechol drachav maskil. Vayhi Shaul lo yenet David. It says David was successful in anything he did. Right after it says so Shaul was jealous. He wanted to destroy David. Vayhi ki yashav amelech beveito. Says when David sat on his throne, so he said, "Gee, what's? I have peace. I have to build a temple for God." He wanted to build the temple. God comes back and says, "Rakata lo tivnei habayit." No, David, you will not build the temple. So we have a bunch of examples illustrating this point. The Gemara now starts questioning. Wait a second. V'haktiv, but the Torah describes the day of celebration when they erected the temple. Vayhi bayom hashmini. It was on the eighth day of the Miluim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. V'tanya, oto hayom hayta simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiyom shenivru bo shamayim v'aretz. The Braisa says, on that day, God was happy like the day He created the planet. Now God could connect with mankind. The Shechina could be among Am Yisrael. It was a great day. And it begins with Vayehi. Okay. So the Gemara gives a slightly different answer. That's the source that it was great happiness, answers the Gemara. Hashachiv Nadav Avihu. But right then and there, you have a terrible thing happen. Nadav and Avihu die on that great day. But it says, it was in 480 years, Solomon built the temple. Nothing sad happened then. But the verse says, when Yaakov saw Rachel, he ran towards her, he took the stone off the well, he fed her flock. What happened there? The Aktiv, it says, Vayer Vayvoker Yom Echad. Throughout Bereishis, you have. And it was night, it was day, one day. Vayer Vayvoker Yom Sheni. Vayika Sheni, Vayika Shlishi. Throughout the days of creation, it says, Vayhi, Vayhi. Vayika Tuva, you have many places throughout Tanakh that it says the word Vayhi. What are you going to say? They're all sad. Amar Rav Ashi. Kol vayihi ikahachi v'ikahachi. Anytime you have vayihi, sometimes it was said, sometimes it wasn't. Some of them are like this, some of them are like this. Vayihi bimei, eino ala lashon tzar. Anytime it says vayihi bimei, then it's a term for sadness. Chamisha vayihi bimei avu. Five times in Tanakh, we have the words vayihi bimei. Vayihi, and by the way, the Medrash learns that vayihi is like vayhai. Like people are saying, whoa, oi, vayhai. That's how the Medrash learns that vayihi is sorrow. So five times it says vayihi bimei. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh, vayihi bimei Shvot HaShoftim, vayihi bimei Amraphel, vayihi bimei Achaz, vayihi bimei Yoyakim. So it's assumed we understand the sadness in each one of those. The first three were explained. The last two it doesn't say, but that's assumed to be understood. Okay, we're back to quotes from Rabbi Levi and his tradition.
So the statement he says that Vayehi ka Kol Vayehi ka Achi right, Veika Achi. So it's not according to what he seems to know. He narrows it down, right?
Right. We have a modification.
But then he says that it depends on if it's in a certain clause, right?
No, he says Vayehi could go either way. Sometimes it's sadness, sometimes not. Vayehi bimei is always sadness. Another quote from Rabbi Levi. Amar Rabbi Levi, Daval Zamasot B'yadenim Avoteinu. We have the following tradition from our forefathers. Amots, the father of the prophet Yeshaya, his father Amots, and Amatzia, the Judean king, Achim Avu. They were brothers, which gives us a different perspective on the prophet Isaiah. Yeshaya is prophesizing to his cousin, to his second cousin, to his third cousin, or second cousin once removed, however that works. His father and the Judean king were brothers. So he's prophesizing to the Davidic dynasty, which were all his relatives. Maika Mashmalan, who cares, the Gemara says, what's he teaching us? He's teaching us like this, like Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani taught in the name Rav Yonasan. Kol kalashi tznua bevet chamia, any daughter-in-law that is modest in her father-in-law's house, zocha, she will merit v'yotzein mimena melachim v'neviyim. She will merit to have kings and prophets. Minalan, where do we see this? Mitamar, from the great Tamar. That tzadekes, dichtiv, it says about Tamar. V'ayrea Yehuda v'yachsheva lezona ki chiseta afanea. Yehuda saw, he thought she was a woman of ill repute because she covered her face. Mishum dechistapaneh v'yachsheva lezona, because she's so modest as to cover her face, he thinks she's a woman of ill repute. Ela mishum dechistapaneh bevet chamia, but because she would always cover her face whenever she'd visit her father-in-law's house, v'lo avayadara, so he never knew what she looked like. All the years she was his daughter-in-law, and her husband was a young man, and they probably ate many meals by his parents. All those years, and the chuppah, and all the years afterwards, he never saw what she looked like. She was always modest in his house. She was always covered. So now when he's meeting her without the covering, he doesn't even know it's her. So in that merit, zachita, she merited v'yatzu mimena melachim v'nevi'im, that she had kings and prophets come from her. Melachim.
Didn't Rashi make the part of there? In Rashi, that it was a sign of her being modest, the fact that she covered it there.
Show me. We'll see later. It's not how I understood Rashi, but I knew the Gemara, so it could be like, could be I missed something in Rashi. Let's see. So she merited, because she was so modest all the time that she was in her father-in-law's house, she merited v'yatzu mimena melachim v'nevi'im, that she had descendants who were ultimately kings and prophets. Milachim, what kings did she have? Mi David, of the Davidic dynasty, comes from Rus. Nevi'im, how do we know that she also had descendants who were prophets? Well, Da'ama Rabbi Levi, Masot B'yadenim Avotenu, Amotz V'Amatziachim, that we have a tradition that Amotz and Amatzio were brothers. V'chtiv, the verse says, Chazon Yishayahu V'Amotz, the prophecy, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amotz. So, from here we understand that if Amots and Amatzio were brothers, they had the same father, that means their father was of the Davidic dynasty, that means Yeshaya the prophet came from the Davidic dynasty, and we will see shortly that whenever we have a prophecy and the prophet's name is recorded with his father's name, that's an indication that his father was a prophet as well. So Yeshaya and Amos were prophets, and that means she had at least two prophets as her descendants. Truthfully, the Gemara could have said David was a prophet. We know David was a prophet, but the Gemara doesn't. The Gemara is going to see it. Let's see in a minute. The Gemara is going to discuss any prophet who's named with his father. I hope we'll still get there today. Okay. Rav Levi quotes another thing we have on tradition from our forefathers. Makom Aron eino min hamida. The Aron did not take up any space. Okay? The Aron doesn't take up space. How does that work? The whole territory of the Holy of Holies was 20 by 20 amma. And whenever you'd walk into the Holy of Holies, you'd have 10 ammas in front of you to walk as though the Aron wasn't there. The Aron would be 10 ammas away from the wall when you entered. And if you'd measure, it would be 10 ammas from the back wall. Now, how does that work? Where does the Aron stand? The whole room is 20 by 20. And if you're standing in front of the Aron, you have 10 ammas. And if you're standing in back of the Aron, you have 10 ammas. So where's the Aron? What space is it to take? So that's a tradition we have. Tanya Nami Achi, we also have a brisa going this way. Aron shasam Moshe, yesh lo esra amot lechol ruach. The Aron that Moshe made had 10 amos in each direction. V'chtiv, and the pasuk describes the measurements. It says v'lifnei adavir esrim ama orech. It says that the cavity of the Holy of Holies, which is on the inside of the devir. Devir is the curtain that separated the wall that separated from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKodashim. So inside that it says you had 20 amma orech, 20 amma length. So if the whole room is 20 amma long, how could you have 10 ammas to each side? Viktiv, and the verse says, Knaf kakruva echad eser amot. One wing was 10 amos. Viknaf kakruva echad eser amot. And the other wing, you had two angels. Each angel had 10 amma wings. 10 amma wings, so if they have 10 ammas of wing, that's 20 ammas total, just the wings of the angels. Aron gufei echavekai, so where was the Aron? El alav shmamina b'nes haya omed. But no, we understand from here that the Aron stood in a miraculous form, took up no space. Okay, we don't know what that means. That's what's called the miracle. Rabbi Yonatan patach lapitra lai parshat amehacha. Rabbi Yonason, when he'd come to teach Megillas Esther, he'd start the parsha from here. And whenever you encounter this term, it shows up throughout the Medrash. Pasach Lapischa, he'd start teaching this Megillah or this parsha with the following verse. They're giving a long speech about the Megillah. Where do you start? He'd start from here. It says in the pasuk is the expression of how they'd start their teaching of this tractate. Yeah.
Introduction.
Yeah. Okay, if no one's using this, it would be useful to have the spelling. Thank you. It says in the pasuk of Yeshaya, וקמתי עליהם נום השם צבקות ויחתי לבבל שם מושר ונין ונכד נום השם. Hashem says, I will arouse upon them. I will take revenge from the Babylonians. And I will cut off from the Babylonians a grandson and a great grandson. I'm going to cut them off for what they did to the Jews. Shem says, I will cut off their Shem. What is Shem? Shem Zaktav. Their reputation, that's that their form of writing was lost. Then the pasuk says, I will cut off Shem Ush'al. What is She'al? Ze Lashon. The language. No one uses the Babylonian language anymore. Nin. Nin, the Medrash over here understands, is like Nun. Nin is a, Yinun is a powerful one. Nin, great grandson, Ze Malchut. Veneched, and a grandson, Zovashti. Vashti was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani patach lapitra la parsha me'achar. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, when he started teaching the parsha, he started like this. The pasuk says, "Tachat anatzut yalev rosh, v'tachat asirpat yale adas." In place of the na'atzut, some kind of thorn bush, yalev rosh, you'll have a tall tree called a berosh. And tachat asirpad, in place of the sirpad tree, whatever that is, yale hadas, you'll have a hadas. Do they explain what it is? Natsut, so the thorn bush, sirpad, they assume we know what it is, and hadas, they assume we know what it is. Okay. In just 1 second. Okay. So, when he'd start teaching, he'd begin with that pasuk. Tachat ha-natsuts, who's this thorny guy? That's tachat ha-man ha-rasha. That's Haman. He declared himself a god. Dichtiv, because the pasuk, when the pasuk describes that there'll be a destruction, it says uvav v'nachu kulam v'nachalei abatot uvinkikei aslalim uvchol hanatzutzim uvchol hanalolim. They're going to come, they're going to take everything, destroy everything, down to the thorn bushes, which is thorn bushes is the way the Navi gives a nickname for the idols. He'll destroy the idols, he calls them the thorn bushes. And Atzutim and Alulim, when the Navi describes everything's going to be taken off, everything will be destroyed, he says even the thorn bushes. What does he mean? He means even the idols that you've been worshipping, which are like thorn bushes for you. So when the pasuk says, in place of the thorn bush, there will rise the tall brush tree, some kind of cypress, cedar, I don't know exactly what it is. So what he means is, in place, what's a thorn bush? That's an allusion to the man who declared himself a god, Haman. In place of Haman will grow the berosh. Who is berosh? Ze Mordechai. That's an allusion to Mordechai. Shenikra rosh lechol habsamim. Mordechai is called the head of all the psamim. Shneimar, the verse says, when the pasuk describes which types of herbs we have to take for making the for making the shemen amishcha, so it says, "Va'atakach lecha besamim rosh, mor, deror," and the pasuk is translated umtagminan marei dache. What's more deror? Mare dache. Fewer mare. Mare dache, Mordechai. Really, the Talmud is bothered. We don't find the name Mordechai anywhere. Where does Mordechai come from? The Gemara is even going to discuss what his real name was. So where do you get the name Mordechai from? What does it even mean in Hebrew? So Chazal said Mordechai is really that first herb, mare dache. And in Hebrew, it's a translation of mor dror. Mor dror. Yeah? Master of freedom. That's Mordechai. Mor dror. Translation, mare dache.
Lord of the Rings. It's connected, I didn't know.
Moreh
is rebel, yeah.
So Mordechai is rebel with a cause.
Here? You're saying it's from Moreh? Mordechai? Okay? Here? Yes, sir.
For example, the thorn bushes. Now it makes sense with the warning that the nations of the land will become like thorns to you.
Oh, very nice. That's a nice thought, too. Perfect.
If with understanding that it's the influence of Al Dazara.
It fits. The pasuk says it. The pasuk continued and said, Tachat ha-sirpad, in place of the sirpad, whatever kind of tree that is. I don't know. Even Mr. Archwell here assumes we know what it is. Well, they translate it there. Adam. I don't know what a sirpad is.
Nettle.
Oh, okay. So in place of the sirpad, Yale Adas, the Adas will grow. So Tachat Sirpad, who's the Sirpad? That's in place of Vashti al Sha'a, but Bino Shel Nebuchadnezzar Rasha, Shesaraf Refidot Beit Hashem. In place of Vashti, the wicked, who is the granddaughter, the daughter of the son of Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked, who burnt the resting place of Hashem. So Sir Tad, the Gemara understands, is like a conjunction of two words. Saraf Refida. Sir Pad. In place of the Sir Pad, in place of the descendant of he who burnt the resting place of Hashem. Dichtiv goes about the temple, it says Refidato Zahav, God's resting place is gold. So in place of that wicked one, Ya'ale Hadas, will come up the Hadas. The, what's Hadas in English? The myrtle. Okay. I'm getting an education here. Okay. It's just easier here in art school. A, they translate all these words that I don't know, like Sirpad, all these planes I don't know. And they also give me the quotes of the psukim. I don't always remember them as we're running through. Okay, so back to the Gemara. So in place of Vashti will grow Esther. Yale Hadas will grow the Hadas. Who's the Hadas? Zo Esther Atzadeket Sheniket Hadasa. That's Esther, the Tzadikah. She's called Hadassah. Shenemaus, the verse says, Vahi omenet Hadassah. He brought up Hadassah. Vahya, the continuation of that same pasuk is, in place of the thorn bush will grow the perosh. In place of the sirpad will grow the hadas. Concludes the pasuk, Vahya lashem leshem. All this became a name for God, so to speak, made God famous. It was something that people were able to recognize God in. Zo mikra Megillah. That's the reading of the Megillah. The pasuk concludes and says, Le'ot olam lo yikaret, an eternal sign that God gave us, it'll never be cut off. Elu yimeach Purim. These are the days of Purim that are eternal. They'll always be with us, as we already saw in the Gemara.
What sense is it in order?
What? In what sense is it an oath? We always read the Megillah. It's a sign. Hashem did this great miracle against all odds. So it's a sign for us. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi patach lapit v'la parshat ha-mehacha. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi started teaching Megillah, he'd begin with the following. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we know him. He went into the Garden of Eden alive. He tricked the angel of death. We went through this story once. Yeah? Okay.
Which not? No.
We'll have to make it up. But the pasuk says, In the warning, Hashem says, if the Jews don't keep the Torah, so Hashem says, "Va'yaka shosas Hashem alechem le'etiv etchem," just as Hashem was happy with you to make it good for you, ken yasis la'ra etchem, so too He will make happy to do bad to you. Umichadei kud shabrichu ma'paltan shereshaim. Is God ever happy when the wicked fool? The active, but doesn't the verse say in the description in the book of Divrei Hayomim, it says that it says like this, the nation established people to sing, they'd give glory to the Holy One. Bitzet lifnei chalutz, when he went out to fight the Ammonim, so it says when he went out to fight them, so when he went out, then they all declared, "Betzet lifnei chalutz ve'omrim hodu l'Hashem ki le'olam chasdo." Ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Mipnema lo ne'emar ki tov be'odah zo." So Rabbi Yochanan says, why is it that when they sang this praise in honor of the king that was going out to war against Ammon and Givon, how come then they said, "Hodu l'Hashem ki le'olam chasdo"? They didn't say, "Hodu l'Hashem ki tov." Why doesn't it say ki tov in this thing? Because God isn't happy when the wicked fall. So what does it mean that Hashem will make happy? But before we come back to that question about whether Hashem is ever happy when the wicked falls, the Gemara is going to bring another question in this vein. Rabbi Yochanan also taught, "My dichtiv velo karav ze el ze kol alayla." In the description that the Egyptians were behind the Jews, there was an angel between us, there was a cloud and darkness between us. The pasuk says they didn't come close to one another all night long. Bikshu malachei hasharet lomar shira. The angels wanted to sing songs where it says v'koroz el ze v'omar. Right? The song of the angels is described that they each call to one another, get ready, get set, go. Then they all do it together. No one wants to be the first to praise God. Each one calls the other one. You ready? Okay, now we'll start the praise. It's a show of modesty. I shouldn't be the first to praise God. We should all praise together. So when the pasuk says Velo Korav Ze El Ze, they didn't come close to one another. That's an indication. Those angels that are usually Korav Ze El Ze, they call one another to get together to praise Hashem. Lo Korav Ze El Ze, they didn't come close all night long. The angels wanted to sing before Hashem. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Maasei Yadai Tovein Bayam Vatem Omerim Shira. The fashion work of my hands are sinking in the sea and you're going to sing. So you see that God doesn't celebrate the downfall of the wicked. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish or not Jewish. Here we're talking about two situations where the enemies who came to kill us, the enemies who tortured us, the enemies who killed our children, were sinking. And yet Hashem says, even they, when they drown, I don't rejoice. Marshal on this Gemara. But we did sing Shira.
Say half hallel, right?
We say it every day.
Az Yashir. So the Marsha says there's a difference. So we have to learn that Marsha. You guys have homework. If you want, remind me next Thursday when it's only you guys. We'll learn that Marsha together.
You say half
a
little,
right? Maybe. We also take out from the wine. At the Seder night, we say it was a necessary evil, but it wasn't evil. We needed it. We need to thank God for doing it. God saved our lives. At the end of the day, we're not rejoicing that they had to drown. We're rejoicing that we were saved. For that, we have to sing and give thanks. We have to say thank you. We have to be happy that we've been saved. But we also take a moment to reflect and say we wish it could have been done a different way. We wish they didn't have to drown for us to make it out alive, which is a very important concept. Sometimes people get carried away with the enemy, and the enemy has to be destroyed. I agree. We have to destroy the enemy. We have to save our lives. We don't have to get killed for no reason. All that's true. But we also have to be regretful that we have to do it. We have to wish there were another way out of this problem. That doesn't mean we don't have to kill the enemy. We're not allowed to die because we're regretful that we have to ensure they don't kill us. You know, that's the balance. People get carried away. The morals of the Torah are as moral as it gets. It doesn't get more moral than that. And the Torah tells us that's the balance. Someone's coming to kill you. Wake up early in the morning, kill him first. But at the end of the day, you have to regret. I wish I didn't have to kill him. But that doesn't mean you don't kill him. It's a balance. Okay, we won't open a can of worms. We'll continue. Back to the Gemara. So now we said that God himself is not happy at the downfall of the wicked. So how come the pasuk describes Hashem will make happy to do bad to you? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, hu einosas, aval acharim misis. Rabbi Elazar taught, it's not that he's happy, he makes others happy. And it's very fitting that Rabbi Elazar will explain it. Rabbi Elazar is a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara is a disciple of the great Rabbi Yochanan, who we just quoted, who said that Hashem doesn't rejoice over the downfall of the wicked. So Rabbi Elazar explained, he himself is not happy. He makes others happy. Vedeka nami. This is actually very accurate if you look at the verse. Dichtiv, because the verse says, Ken yes cease. So too God will make others happy at the Jews' downfall. There are others who rejoice at our downfall. It doesn't say, Velochtiv yesus. It doesn't say, just as God was happy to make it good for you, God will be happy to make it bad for you. It doesn't say that. It says, by the same token, God will make others happy to come and destroy you. Shma mina, the Gemara accepts the proof.
That's our answer right there, no?
Right, that's the answer. Rabbi Abba bar Kahana patach lapit chalai parshat ameyacham. Rabbi Abba bar Kahana used to begin the Megillah from here.
The Megillah, the sugya, what's the covenant?
When he'd want to give a speech over Purim, he'd begin with this. He'd begin with the following pasuk. La'adam shetov lefanav, Shlomo HaMelech describes something that he doesn't like in this world. He says, you know, the way God runs the world is that if there's someone who's good before God, Natan chokhmah v'dat v'simcha. He gave him wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Ze Mordechai HaTzadik. That's Mordechai. God gave him wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Shlomo HaMelech continues and says, Ve'lachotei Natan Inyan. God made it that the sinner, he focuses his efforts, Lesof Ve'lichnos, together. To have storage houses of wealth. I want more and more. He's hoarding his wealth. And then what happens with it? That's Haman. Ze Haman. But what was God's plan? Latet litov lifnei Elokim. God's plan is he'll spend his life working. He'll put together all the wealth. And then, in a moment, I'll pass all that wealth over to those that are good in my eyes. They didn't work for it and they'll get it. That's Mordechai and Esther. Dichtiv, as the verse says, Vatasim Esther et Mordechai al Beit Haman. Esther placed Mordechai in charge of the house of Haman. Now, what the Gemara did not quote is Shlomo's conclusion. Shlomo says, Gamze Hevel Ur'us Ruach. Shlomo, so to speak, laments it. He says, poor guy. He spent his whole life working and someone else is going to enjoy all his toils. So the Gemara ignores the end of the pasuk. That's for a different class. In our philosophy class, we'll have to discuss what was Shlomo Amel saying about that. You know, the Gemara says, this concept came true between Mordechai and Haman. The fact that Shlomo seemingly laments that that's the way the world works, in philosophy 101, we'll have to discuss that.
Really brings out the drama about the Rasha. All of his efforts, that's his whole world. That's the ultimate punishment.
I hear, but why did Shlomo conclude that and say, Zehevel Uru'us Ruach? Okay, so that's when we learn Koheles. One day, I hope we'll get back to our Koheles.
Objectively, he's saying,
that deserves a longer class. That's what we're not going into now. Back to the Gemara. We can't do Koheles. I mean, we're doing Megillah now. Rabba Bar Ufran or Ofran Patach Lapitre Lai Parshat HaMehacha. When he'd start teaching the story of Megillah, he'd start with the following. Now, before we continue, let's see Tosis. The Gemara teaches us in Yuma. Gemara says that there was a woman who named her son Doeg, and she'd always donate money to the temple. And then when there was a siege over Jerusalem, she ended up beforehand, every year she'd weigh him, and corresponding to his weight, she'd donate to the temple. And then there was a siege, and there was a hunger, and she ended up eating the flesh of that son. She cherished him so much, donating every time his weight to the temple, and Chazal say that his sorry end was a result or was affected by the fact that he was named after a wicked person. He was named Doeg. So the Gemara says, Rishayim lo maskinan bishmayu. We don't name after wicked people, we don't mention their names. So we only name after good people, or we name after a name which has many people who had that name, so there's no clear indication who it was. So here in this Gemara, don't think that it says Rabba bar Ephron, Rabba the son of Ephron. Ephron was a good for nothing. He's quoted in the Torah as being a bad person. So that's what Tosa says. Rabba bar Ofran Garcina. Velo Garcinan Ephron. Teshem Reshaim Yilka velo Masku Bishmayu. It's not that his name was Ephron, because the names of the wicked should rot. We don't mention their names. So we don't name someone Ephron. Lo Masku Bishmai. We don't mention their names. We don't make we don't make mention of their names. We don't bring up their names. Huh? Yeah, he owned the Machpelah, right? Marasa Machpelah. So then there's a big discussion: what's called a good name, what's called a bad name. You know, can you name your kid all kinds of things? Okay, back to our Gemara. So Rambam,
So
that's wrong. Shabtai he could name him. Tzvi he could name him. Shabtai Tzvi is a problem. Rabba Bar Ofran Patach Lapitcha Lai Parshat Ameacha. Rabba the son of Ofran, when he'd start teaching this, he'd start with the following. The Navi describes V'samtir Chisiv Ve'ilam V'avati Misham Melech V'sarim Neum Hashem. I will place my throne in Elam. Elam is Shushan. Elam is the state in which Shushan, the city, was located. It says in Daniel, Shushan Habira Asher Be'elam HaMedina. Shushan, the capital, was in the state of Elam. So it says, I will place my throne in Elam, and I will wipe out, I will banish from Elam, Melech v'sarim, a king and officers. Melech zovashti, v'sarim zaman v'aseret banav. That's a reference to Haman and his 10 sons. Ravdimi bar Yitzchak patach lapitcha lai parshat ameacha. He started teaching from here. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Ki avadim anachnu, for we are enslaved. And in spite of our servitude, our God hasn't left us. God turned to us with kindness before the kings of Persia. When did we find favor in the eyes of the Persian kings? In the days of Haman. Rabbi Hanina bar Papa, patach lapitcha lai parshat ameacha. Rabbi Hanina bar Papa,
huh?
That's how he'd start. So you have to look at the whole section there. It says that, okay, so he's asking a good question. What's the point? So the truth is that this Gemara really told us a huge secret, which takes us back to a secret we discussed a few weeks ago. How could the rabbis institute a holiday? Right? The Torah gives us our holidays. How can we have a rabbinic institution of Purim? So we discussed back when the Gemara discussed that the rabbis made this claim to Esther, we discussed that from the Torah we learn that we celebrate the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And the rabbis foresaw that the story of Purim would bring about the building of the Beit HaMikdash. The destruction of Amalek in Purim was a stepping stone to the building of the Beit HaMikdash. We had a long discussion about this. And the rabbis saw that, and that was part of the reason why they instituted Purim. Now, how did he begin his lecture about Purim? He began with this pasuk. What's the conclusion of the pasuk that's not written in the Gemara? The pasuk says, we are enslaved. And even though we've been enslaved, Hashem hasn't left us. He had us find favor in the eyes of the Persian king to sustain us, l'romem bet Elokeinu, to ultimately uplift the house of our God, u'le'amid et chovotav, and to rebuild the destruction of Jerusalem. You see what's hidden in this pasuk? When he started with this pasuk, he said, we found favor in the eyes of the Persian king. He wasn't just saying, yeah, that's, you know, the pasuk's talking about that. The pasuk's not only talking about that, the pasuk is also showing us the connection. From the story of Esther came about, Esther married Ahasuerus. 3 years after the Megillah, Ahasuerus dies. His son from Esther, Koresh, takes the throne. And a short while later, that son of Esther, Koresh, grew up as a Gentile, but he was a Jew. He tells the Jews, go back, build your temple. So the pasuk, when he began with this pasuk, he was telling us how the Megillah is really a lead-in to the building of the temple. Yeah? You wanted that. So you got it. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Are we allowed to name boys Koresh?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's not clear that he was too faithful, but you're right. The Talmud says in Rosh Hashanah that Hashem lamented that. Hashem named Koresh through the prophet Yeshaya. Ka'amar Hashem the Koresh Meshichi. Years before Koresh was born, Yeshaya prophesied to Koresh, my anointed one. Hashem said, Koresh, come build the temple with him. And that's why Koresh was initially considered a Mashiach. The Navi calls him a Mashiach, the anointed one of God. But then Koresh got lazy. He said, you guys go, tell me what you need, I'll send it. I'm staying here in my palace. You guys go build that temple. Whoever wants can go, I'll send you what you need, go. And then God laments Koresh. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. Good question. Okay. Okay.